Okay, thank you, Sasi, and good afternoon to all of you. My name is Lordwin J. Kumar. I'm an NSERC visiting fellow working for Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada. So I would like to thank the co-authors of this presentation, Dr. David McKenzie, Wayne Shaptai, and Lakshman, and Derek, and Ivan Daral. So I will be talking about the drain mode model applications in the Atlantic provinces. I'm trying to collect some of the information exactly from the Atlantic provinces, actually. So when you talk about Atlantic provinces, there are four provinces, if you can see. Do you have a pointer? Just then for the Atlantic provinces, so you probably aware of it because we are having a change in weather all the time throughout the year. So the four main provinces, this is Newfoundland and Labrador, then we are having Nova Scotia, then we are having Prince Edward Island, and also we are having New Brunswick. So these are the main four Atlantic provinces. The major thing, so in these provinces we'll observe that as a changeable weather, then ample precipitation. If I'll talk about, I'm not sure about the other provinces, but in Newfoundland and Labrador, around 1400 millimeter of rainfall we get every year, and this higher humidity, lower visibility, more cloud, less sunshine and stronger winds than a continental climate. So how we are going to have some model work in this climatic situation, that's all I am going to talk about. So the climate, from this map you can see the climatology of the maritimes is highly dependent on the physical geography of a particular location and the presence of the Atlantic Ocean. So most areas in Newfoundland, this part have the significant role in the local weather conditions. So the terrain actually have a gentle slopes upwards from the coast towards the southwest, reaching elevation as high as 2,000 feet. So the surface is predominantly bare and rocky with several bogs, ponds and rivers. You can see this is our experimental site. This is at St. John's Research and Development Center at Newfoundland. So you can see during the snow time, it's roughly it starts at the end of November towards until the end of April. So you can see the whole field is covered with a lot of snow. And the main thing about those things in the Newfoundland and Labrador, it won't stay. Most of the times it gets melted so quickly and it will contribute to the surface runoff and other flows. So this is just a list of some of the researchers. They have used the drain mode for considering mainly with the freezing and thawing and snow melt predictions in the cold weather conditions. So you can see the list of publications based on the location also. So most of the paper in this, you can see that it's from Nova Scotia and a few from Newfoundland as well. So you can see again some of the researchers, you can see that they have compared the drain mode modeling with the other models like SWAC-CORP and the drain WRMF model to simulate the hydrology and water quality of agricultural watershed. So the most important thing here, you know, they have used these models to predict the soil water regime and the crop yields, and also they have included the freezing and thawing and the snow melt components in that model. That's one of the important things in these locations we have to consider it. So back to the experimental field, what I have done in the research. So this is the aerial view of the St. John's tile drainage plots. We are having approximately 4 acres of land. So you can see at the edge of the field, you can see the drainage hut here. This is the place where we are collecting all the tile drainage water from all the 12 experimental plots. And then currently we are having another project going on, the treatment. So we are constructed 4 bioreactors here. That's all based on wood chip bioreactor for nitrate removal. So basically we are getting the water from these tile drainage plots and then getting it over there, then we are pumping for treatment. So anyway, I'm not going to discuss about this part. Just I'm going to talk about the drain mode modeling about that. So as I mentioned to you, the maritime provinces actually produces less food as compared to other provinces in Canada. So, and also the land, as I mentioned to you, it's a poorly drained soil in most of the places, so it is highly required for this kind of tile drainage system. And most of the areas they have covered with the tile drainage system. And I have mentioned some of the crops, what they were growing under the tile drainage system. It's mainly vegetable, corn, and forages. In Prince Edward Island, it's potato and cereal grains. And then again, you can see in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, it's pretty much the same, all forages, fruits, vegetables, cereal grains, and corn. So this is the picture what you are seeing over here. This is our tile drainage plot. It's it's around 36 inches down. We have placed these tiles. So this is our experimental plot. You can see, as I mentioned to you, so you can see there are 12 plots. So each plot is 32 by 60 meter. So 6 plots, plots in this side and 6 plots. And that the red line indicates the drainage tile. And then you can see the blue line that it indicates the intercept tile drain. So all these lines, it's connected to the collection hut. You can see the 6 lines going inside, and from these 6 lines going toward this side. So the drainage coefficient of this area is 0.21 to 0.25. And we have seen that, you know, it takes approximately 36 hours after the rainfall event to see the water flow coming into the tile drainage building. And also it requires minimum of 10 millimeter of rainfall to initiate the flow. That's what we have observed from these tile drainage fields. And and also we have seen that the flow, it's every plot, like it's 2 liters per second. So overall we can we are receiving around 24 liters per second. That's the flow that's coming into that tile drainage building. So these are the treatments in the 12 plots. So we are having 4 treatments. So it's all based on the forage mixtures where our local farmers, local dairy farmers, whatever they are practicing in their field. So we are doing an experiment based on the requirement. So it's basically the conventional grass as well as the improved grass. So it's again, it's a mixture of all these grasses. So it's mainly alfalfa, timoteo, then we have meadow fescue and rich and also AC broader alfalfa. So these are the different forage mixtures we were growing in that 12 experimental plots. And we are having 2 different methods of manure applications in the forage mixture plots. One is a broadcast and another one is the surface banting. These are the 2 applications. So these are the percentage wise. We have put how much percentage of grasses in each treatment. So you can see all the 4 treatments over here, the conventional improved and the conventional forage and the improved forage. And we are applying this low emission for the dairy manure, and we are applying around 55,000 liters per hectare. That's the calculation we are applying for these experimental plots. So as I mentioned to you earlier, you can see the profile of our soil. It's gravelly structured and humophoric, and it's mostly of the pot-soil soils. Sometimes you know, it varies from even from location to location, and also it is having a high steep flows in that experimental plots. So this is the inside of how we are collecting the tile drainage water. So you can see here the tipping bucket. So we have put two tipping buckets because sometimes, as I mentioned to you, we are getting a lot of rainfall and it cannot able to handle with one tipping bucket. So we have put two tipping buckets, and that's how we are collecting, we are measuring the flow, because it's connected with a data logger. So it's an hourly basis. So we are collecting that flow data from these tipping buckets. So this is an overall setup of our drainage hut. You can see the tile pipes coming on the left, on your right. So there are 12 on your left hand side and there are 12 on the right hand side. So all these 12 plots are connected. And what we have done, and from this you can see a color coded pipes. It's not very clear, but that's how we are just taking that water to pump into the wood chip bioreactor. So this is our setup in that drainage hut. So this is the desorption curve for the coherent silt loam desorption curve. You can see it's versus the water content and the tension head. You can see that R square value, it's 0.9 into that. So this is just an initial effort of using the drain mode model. We haven't calibrated yet, but it's just as the data, whatever we have collected, because this is an agricultural engineer work before I joined. So I just took the data and see how those data are responding in drain mode modeling. So this is, you can see that simulation with the infiltration and the ET and the water table. You can see it's pretty much the water table. It's below, just below that 1 meter, and then you can see that rainfall on the top. We are getting pretty much high rainfall during the time here. Normally in the beginning of the month, like January and February and March, that's time we'll get more rainfall, and towards like from sometimes it's from October to December, and that's the time also we normally receive the higher rainfall. So this is the graph indicates about the hydrology for that total month from January to December. As I mentioned to you, again the same thing with the rainfall, infiltration, ET and the drain. So the first step we have just measured with the value. This is the blue line. This indicates the predicted of that drain mode modeling. You can see this is the, on your y-axis, this is the total drainage volume and versus the month. So it's not very good, but it's pretty closer in when the drainage volume is less than around 2,000 cubic meter. It's pretty much, I believe, when we do some calibrations. And one of the main thing, I found it difficult with the rooting stuff, because we are growing a different mixtures of grasses, and it's really difficult to put the value for all the forage mixtures. So once we calibrate this model, probably it can be give a better prediction. So in summary, just we had 12 experiment plots and connected with all the tile drainage, and then the forage mixtures, then the flow was recorded using the tipping bucket, and also we are using the data logger. So we are just getting the flow, and we are using a shuttle to transfer the data, and that's it's easy for us to just to do the analysis with the help of the shuttle. So in conclusions, as compared to the papers and the other researchers, what mainly with the Eastern Canada, it can be used to simulate for the drainage flows, but it has not been extensively applied during or the colder periods in Eastern Canada. The drain mode modeling, it really helps to include the components like the freezing and the thawing cycles in soil, which have a significant effect on field hydrology. And also the results showed that, you know, the measure and predict outflows were comparable to each other. So this is just our initial conclusion, and hopefully once we will run the remaining years of data, then we'll try to calibrate and validate that model. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Yeah, I mean, if you have no questions, I can ask one.
Yeah.
This model, the crop growth part, are they using any carbon dioxide impact on crop growth? Any response?
No.
What I'm asking is because this model has been used for studying climate impact on cropping system.
Yeah, I have seen a paper. They have combined the dry mode with DSAT.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so that's
independent also, you see, and so
okay.
The reviewer might have overlooked that. So
all right, yeah.
Anything?
Yeah.
As you said, you had 4 treatments, right?
Yeah.
So did you see any significant differences in any parameters you measured between the 4 treatments?
No. I couldn't see any significant difference with the 4 treatments because that application, that manure applications, and this is just only with the flow. Okay, so we just simulated the flow. We did not see any other parameters into this model. Say probably that will be a significant difference if I'll see any nitrate or anything in that. So, but during 2009 to 2012, they have measured this thing. At that time, they measured only the flow data. So, all what I have, it's only the flow data, measured flow data.
So, you also have the replicates for
flux? Yes, yeah.
So, you can, in future, you can analyze this in RTB.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't tried that, but it's a good suggestion. I will look into that. Yeah.
Anybody else any point? You did not use any calibration algorithm or?
Not yet. Because we have actually the 3 years of data. Still, 1 more year of data is there to work on that, and then so one of the main thing with the calibration part. To identify the rooting depth with the dip because it's all a mixture of crops, so
yeah, we kind of did I did the manual calibration, you know, knowing the system, so I can manually calibrate all the parameters.
Okay.
So we run another guy did glue and all other algorithms, and I got exactly even better results than using those. So,
yeah.
It depends on how much you know the system and how much effort you put.
Yeah.
So, we'll go to the next.
Yeah. Thank you.